I've taught on the story in John chapter 4 several times because it's one of my favorite and because there's so much in there, all right? But I want to look toward the end of it a little bit, at the end of the story, as we come to the end of the year. So let me tell you the story real quick first. All right, Jesus is early on in his ministry. That's important. He's still in the getting to know you phase of these tax collectors, these fishermen, these common Joes that he has said, follow me, and they have dropped everything and just said, here we go, all right? A guy in a toga and a pair of flops walking all over the land, all right, teaching, preaching, who has come as the Messiah, some in secret, some in full glory, all right? And this whole thing is gearing up to happen in this man, not because of this man, in this man. And these 12 disciples are now getting to know him, but they also have their belief systems, their families, their cultures, their religious upbringing to deal with. Now, that never happens in our culture. There is never a time when people come together and some like country and some like rock and roll, some like blue and some like red, and then there are others that we forgive for liking orange. But they looked really, really good yesterday. They looked really, really good yesterday as they gave the Big Ten a beat down. Amen. All right. So, we love and appreciate all of that. But when you start to get together and do life together, which we're going to talk about in a minute, sometimes those things clash. And they did right here in this story of John chapter 4. You see, they were traveling, all right, from Jerusalem to Judea, and they had to go through this place called Samaria, all right? Well, they didn't like the Samaritans at all. They didn't walk in their country. They didn't drink their water. They didn't do any of that, all right? They hated them, all right? And Jesus doesn't have that in his background. Jesus doesn't do hate. He doesn't do different. He doesn't do skin color. He just does love, life, hope, all of the things that he came for. And so he starts to make his way through Samaria, and Peter, James, John, and the rest are like, no, you know, like Yosemite Sam, you know. And they go on through. They get about halfway through. It's the middle of the day. It's hot. And they run into the town, you know, for some McDonald's. Well, that's not in there, but it's close. All right? It's close. All right? Speaking of McDonald's, $635 in gift cards last week. We rolled ourselves right up to the McDonald's and asked for the manager, and the manager ran 12 different $50 gift cards and one for $35, walked them back to the back of the drive-thru and started to run them, and we walked out the door. I have no idea what happened. Don't know, don't care. I know that we fed the people. I know that it was fun, and I know that probably the most fun a person had was sitting at that back drive-thru for the first time in her or his life going, it's free, it's free. You know, it had to be fun. If we didn't do anything but make what they call the back drive-through workers' day, then it was fun, right? I don't know who did it. You know, it had to be a hoot and a holler. It had to. All right. No, is it going to... Where's my man? It's not. It's in and out and up and down, and that's okay. I don't need it right now, but it says Nicholas Mack. Man, I don't even know what it's doing. I'll get my Bible, and you can follow me. Fair enough. All right, so halfway through the story. They're halfway through Samaria. They go to McDonald's. Jesus is like, I need y'all to go. I'm going to stay here. Jesus stays by the well. You all remember this story now. He meets a woman. Not only is she a Samaritan, but she's basically a prostitute. Not only is she a prostitute, but she's a prostitute woman. So you've got a man who doesn't speak. Men don't speak kindly to women. They treat them fine, but they're lower than them. She's a Samaritan, so she's even lower. And she's a real, really, really sinful woman, so she's even lower. But they carry on this conversation. And at the end of the conversation, Jesus reveals one of the most powerful secrets in all of the Scripture to this woman. She says, one day there's going to be a Messiah. I don't know where, I don't know when, I don't know how. One day he's going to be here. And when he does, I'll find my answers. And Jesus gets this big, goofy smile on his face, and he goes, sweet girl, welcome to someday. I'm him. Now that had to sound, if we're honest, that had to sound a bit awkward. But he does. He looks at her and he says, I am him. Because of the technical difficulties, I'm going to turn to the next part. Normally, we finish right there. But if you'll look in John chapter 4 and go to the next section, all right, after the next bold type, here's what happens. Oh, is it up there now? Well, I'm going to look at it right here. Thanks. Just then, right as this happened, the disciples returned and were surprised, you catch this, to find him talking to a woman. But no one asked, what do you want or why are you talking to her? See, if it had been a normal everyday Joe, they'd have been like, wait, what are you doing? They didn't question Jesus. This is the next verse. Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to town to the people. Okay? Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the people. Listen, end of the year, next year, y'all know this. I don't do resolutions. Don't. I think they're nice for writing down and talking about, but you and I, all of us know they rarely get held to. All right? As you move into the new year, let me encourage you first to drop your trash. Okay? It's time to let go of some of the garbage that's weighing you down. It's time to cast your cares on him because he cares for you. As I have traveled for over 25 years, speaking, churches, teenagers, one of the greatest struggles I have witnessed is kids at camp, kids at the edge, kids at conferences, parents, moms, dads who want help. They finally get to the place where they want help. They know what's wrong. They lay it down at the altar. They cry about it. They put it there. And then on their way back to their seat, they grab a string and pull it back with them, stick it in their pocket, and several months later, they're talking about the financial struggles they're in again. They're talking about the husband or wife issues they have again. They're talking about the addictive issues that they have again. They're talking about the burdens and the anxiety that they have again. People, at the end of the year and the beginning of a new year, if you want to run free, drop the weight. Most people don't notice that this woman is here in the middle of the afternoon. Why? Because she did not want to be around the rest of the women. She did not want to be made fun of. She didn't want to be called a hooker. She didn't want to be told she was a sinner. So she came in the middle of the day with this 30-gallon stone jar probably nestled on her head. It was heavy. It was burdensome. It would carry the water for some man who wouldn't even marry her for the rest of the day, and she would do it again tomorrow. It was a cycle of burden. And after she met the Messiah, we find her running, not walking, running back into town. What? Without the jug. Lay down your burdens. Cast your cares on him. I've said this before. There is a reason that God does a separation as far as the what? East is from the west. Do you remember why? Do you remember why? Because if you go north and you continue going north, what happens? Eventually you will start to go south. Yes. You can only go north so far and then you're going south. You can only go south so far and then you go north. If you go east and you keep going, what happens? You always go east. If you go west, what happens? You always go west. It's an eternal thing. God says, I will separate it from you as far as the east is from the west. The problem is we hand it off and then we grab it back. Stop it. Lay down your burdens today. Don't march into 2019 with them. Once you went into the Messiah, once you walk into his presence, leave them with him. Second, she does not want to go. Your burdens do not want to go. Okay? Leave them. Next, listen. Leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come see a man who told me everything I ever did." I want to reiterate something from 18 months ago. I talked about being naked, and we did a sermon series called Unveiled. It was hard. It was messy. And it was one of the most beautiful moments in our 5 years here. Here's why. Because we finally said, I'm really looking for a church that'll be the hands and feet of Jesus, not by money, not by actions, but by how they treat people. We want to be a place where you can say, this is who I am. And nobody says, you are not welcome here. The problem with church over the last 50 or 100 years is we have learned to cover up all of the problems inside us, and we have made ourselves so fake and so perfectly Christian and religious that nothing is ever dealt with. You've taken Jesus out of the equation. You've said that you love Him. You've said that you want Him. You've said that you understand the cross, but you do not allow the cross to do what the cross was meant to do. You haven't made a change. You haven't become new in Christ. And I take you back to something that we've already studied. We walked through who Moses was and how he was. And interestingly enough, he was the leader of what we call the Hebrew children. Does anybody know what the word Hebrew actually means in Hebrew? Ivaram. Ivaram. It means to cross over, or the ones who crossed over. The Hebrews became literal Ivarams when they left Egypt and crossed over into the promised land. When they left slavery and crossed over into freedom. When they left the burdensome, toilsome life that they had and crossed over into the promises that God had for him. And then in the New Testament, there was a literal Hebrew. He was the Ivram of Ivram, the Hebrew of Hebrews, the crossing over of the most crossed over, the one who came, song, from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, a debt to pay, crossed to grave, grave to sky. Why? Because he crossed over from death into life so that we could cross over from death into life. He became the epitome of what the symbolic Hebrews were to be for all of his children for all eternity. You must, this sounds so New Age, but it's not. You must cross over. You must be made new. Why? If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is gone, passed away, dead. The new has come. In this new year, all right, listen to me. Her words were, come, let me introduce you to someone who knows everything about me. I'm going to say it again because you don't want this. Let me introduce you to someone who knows everything about me. There is a reason that we are pushing and not just pushing, that we are hauling, not just hauling, that we are heaping in on life groups. There's a reason. You know what it is? You need to know people and they need to know you. And it is a scary, painful, messy process. But the result of that scary, painful, messy process, if walked through together, priceless, holy, rich, godly, everything that Jesus wants for His community of believers. Why do we not do it? We've talked about it before. Number one, you're scared of what everybody else sees you as. Number two, you're scared of the response of the church to sin for the past 50 or 100 years. The outcast, finger pointing, making you feel less. Listen to me. That is sinful, it is wrong, and Christ died so that you didn't have to endure it. Or you are so arrogant in your admission of sin that you think that because you say I'm a sinner, you are now fixed and don't need Christ or pastors or friends to speak into you. The greatest problem I have had as a pastor in the last 5 years is not that people are treating sinners poorly in this place, and it's not that people aren't admitting they're sinners. It's that the people who admit that they're sinners don't want help from other sinners. Well, then who are you going to get your help from? Because you just canceled out the world! For all have and fall of the... Well, you don't understand, Pastor. God and I have such a relationship that when I am in need, He speaketh unto me in King James English. And I listen and move forward in His name. I love you. You're an idiot. There's never been a time in all of history where that is how God dealt with His people as a whole. And that is not how it was established. When He went to make a place for you, He left His Holy Spirit and His people, and He sent that Holy Spirit down upon them, and they began to preach, and they began to teach, and they began to tell a story of a sinner who could be a Savior, and of a Savior who came to save the world, and people began to be saved, and churches began to be formed, and lives began to be changed, and we find ourselves here today navigating the waters of that faith together. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. In the image of a communal triune God. You were made for community. You cannot do it alone. It is ludicrous, arrogant, and against the Scripture to think that you can. So my challenge to you is lay down your trash and open up your heart, your life, your story to others. Because in the beautiful mess of your story is also all of ours. Listen to what happens. Many of the Samaritans from the town believed in Him because of the woman's testimony. What was her testimony? He knew everything I had ever done. So when they came to Him, they asked Him to stay, and because of His words, many more became. Listen to what they said. We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we've heard for ourselves, and we know that this man is really the Savior. People can come to Jesus just because you tell them you love them. Sometimes you don't need a flag, a t-shirt, a track. Knowledge of the King James Version of the Bible, the Roman road, a nice little trick to tell someone. Do they work? Sometimes, but what do you need? Your story. Your changed Hebrew crossover story. So number one, lay down your burdens. Number two, get involved in the lives of others and let them get involved in yours. And number three, if you know the story, tell the story. If you know the story, tell the story. The Christian values the lives of all we come in contact with depend on it. I've told you a story, and most of you won't have heard it because it was several years ago. It's a made-up story about when Jesus gets back to heaven and all these pudgy little angels are running back up to Him to say hi and hug on Him. And they say, what did you do? And I went and were with the people. Well, how were they? Sometimes they seem awful. Sometimes they are awful. But we love them. Yeah, we love them. And then they said, so what's the plan? And he said, well, I got these 12 guys, and I got to know them, and I've told them to tell everybody else. And a little pudgy angel says, what's plan B? church. What's plan B? There is no plan B. There is no plan B. Peter, James, and John don't talk. It's over. You ready for this? Damon, Steve, and Bobby don't talk. It's over. That is the plan. If you know the story, tell the story. Church, if you know the story, church, if you know the story, are there people in your life who don't know the story? Tell the story. What story? Your story. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. If you know the story, tell the story. She was a hooker who ran back to town. And because she ran back to town and told her story, not the Roman road, not John 3:16, none of that, she said, come and meet a guy that loved me for me, that knew everything about me and still talked to me. Come meet that guy. Church, come meet that guy. Ready? And then come be that guy. And then come walk with that guy. And then bring somebody else to meet that guy. Drop your trash. Get involved with other sinners' lives just trying to get better. Let them know who you are and love them for who they are and where they are. And together, if you know the story, tell the story. I told you it was going to be simple. And here's what Jesus does. When he's ready in his time, he snowballs it. The next verse says, and many others came to believe because of her testimony. But they no longer believed in her testimony. Sometimes we bite. Sometimes we bite on the little things. But when you dive in, it's so much deeper. And they sat at the feet of Jesus and they learned more about him and they fell in love with him. And as they did, more did. And as they did, more then. That's how it works, church. That's our 2019.